Today we come to the fourth talk in our Worship in the Wilderness series, and we look at the life of our Lord Jesus as a sacrificial journey which triumphs over sin and death and pours out its benefits on us. We look at how we may respond to his self-sacrifice and how we may follow him in the new life of sacrifice of praise in all our circumstances, including the current wilderness of COVID and also the many sufferings of those we love and care for in our families and in the family of the church. And as we look at our first slide now, our theme today is expressed by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11 verse 15, and he tells us, through Jesus therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. For all of us, there is an increased care and concern and anxiety about these times. There is something of the wilderness, where familiar landmarks of life are missing, risks increased, impacts of COVID lockdown weigh heavily upon us, concerns for those that we love and for the whole community, because we want to connect our community to Christ. Our health is under threat. Serious illness is an ever-present concern. Our finances and jobs may be threatened. Unforeseen medical and health challenges face those that we love and care for. There's no easy answer, but faith in the risen Lord Jesus offers a way through as we also apply our God-given skills and abilities to the matter. So today I want to draw out four points about the sacrificial journey of the Christian life, drawing out the points from the prophecy of Isaiah about the life of Jesus before he was born, of how he would act on our behalf and bless us through his sacrificial journey, and then from Paul's letter to the Hebrew church about our response. The four points are these. Christian life is a shared journey. The second, that Jesus bears and shares our sorrows. The third is that he is the sacrificial Lamb of God. And the fourth is that our response is a sacrifice of praise, which blesses God in return. So this will be a good time to turn to Isaiah 53, which I'm going to refer to a good deal in this talk, and keep it open. So firstly, one of the great things about being a Christian is that, in the words of the famous football anthem, you'll never walk alone. That's because of prayer, that wonderful, intimate way we have of being able to talk with God as Father and the Lord Jesus as Brother day by day. Being able to talk with his Father sustained and supported the Lord Jesus himself. And now it supports us. Isaiah was so sure of God's word to him that he put it in the past tense, as though it had already happened, though for him it was still centuries in the future. He says this in chapter 53, verse 12. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Liz and I, together when we can and separately when we can't, try to start each day this way in prayer, and then let the conversation with God flow gently through the day. This continues to sustain us as we look to go about all that each day brings. Concerns for family and friends, the family of God in the church, for the community and the nation and the issues of the wider world. In my own prayer, particularly for the first time in this pandemic, I've also drawn on the words of Psalm 91, which has jumped off the page for me. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. These are the words that have had a particular significance for me, and I've committed to the Lord all for whom we have a concern, in our family and the family of the church, asking him that he will command his angels in this way. And then I see that I underlined and noted verses 14 to 16 back in 2012. These are the words, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name, and he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honour him. Please do look this up later and let it bless you also in Psalm 91. And so as we look more closely at chapter 53 of Isaiah, we see the prophet's well-known descriptions of the suffering servant. Isaiah foretold hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus a type of Messiah who was not the militaristic, strong and powerful leader which Jesus' contemporaries were expecting. Sometimes the text was thought to represent the nation of Israel and its suffering, but later the New Testament writers understood this to be about Jesus. Which brings me to my second point, that Jesus bears and shares our sorrows. We already saw last week when we were studying the subject that Jesus meets us in our different states of sorrow and distress. And now we read in this chapter that Jesus does more than just provide a shoulder for us to cry on. He personally bears and shares our sorrows. The journey of Jesus himself was one of sorrow as he travelled through the wilderness of sin and rejection of this world. The sorrows weighed upon him, but never overtook him. The journey took him ultimately to the very epicentre of wilderness, that is to say, the cross. That he was like a root in dry ground. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. That's Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. We know that this man of sorrows wept at Lazarus' tomb, wept over the fate of Jerusalem, and mourned the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist. In Matthew 14, we hear the terrible story of John being beheaded. When Jesus hears this news about his cousin, he takes himself away to a desert place. He chooses to go to the desert to mourn. And then he takes it to his heavenly Father in prayer. Our God knows intimately the human experience of grief and pain. This is part of who Jesus is. He bears and shares our sorrows, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Thirdly, Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God. Isaiah foretold that the Messiah would not only know our sorrow, but that he would carry the full weight of our suffering, of our sin and our shame. Again, note that Isaiah writes in the past tense for emphasis. He says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah's words contain many echoes of the Day of Atonement. This can be found in Leviticus 16. The passage from Israel's 40 years in the wilderness tells us of how God dealt with their sin. One day each year, through the death of a sacrificial lamb and the sacrifice of a scapegoat, the sins of the people were dealt with. The priest would place his hands on the head of the goat to transfer the guilt of the people onto it. It was then sent away, symbolically carrying the weight of all Israel's sin out into the wilderness. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place. That's verse 22 in Leviticus 16. It was to be cut off from the land of the living, suffering these sins so the people didn't have to. It was symbolically very moving, very deep and rich in experience for a shepherd people. And echoing this story, Isaiah further writes of Jesus, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was justified." Whatever wilderness you struggle with, Jesus has borne the pain of it on his shoulders on the cross. He has become our sacrificial lamb, scapegoat, carrying our sin, carrying our struggles, carrying our sorrows. He went out into the wilderness of judgment all alone, so that ultimately we may all be healed, restored, and made whole. The book of Hebrews is a good place to go to in the New Testament to help us understand how Jesus continues and concludes the story of the Old Testament. And it unfolds to us how we may respond. In chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, Paul describes how Jesus completely fulfills all that the Day of Atonement was pointing towards. That Jesus is the one final sacrifice for all sin. And in the words of chapter 10, verse 14, "By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." We can't make ourselves right with God. Only Jesus can do this. And indeed, Jesus has done exactly that. Jesus' sacrifice of himself is the tipping point of both time and eternity. He has defeated sin and death and hell. Wonder of all wonders. And so my fourth point. Our sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise, which actually blesses God. Any sacrifices that we bring today are not given to earn God's favour. And yet Paul does say that there are sacrifices that we are called to make. We are called to make sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of doing good and sharing with other people. We read from Hebrews chapter 13, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." The sacrifice that we bring is the sacrifice of response. Seeing how Jesus has dealt with our sorrow and shame, we are inspired, we are empowered to bring our praise and our service. We can worship God with our lips, in songs and prayers. We can worship God with generosity and compassion towards other people. Our sacrifice of praise is to Jesus the Redeemer, who has passed through death and come out the other side, uniquely. There's only ever been him who's done that. I have a testimony to share for another time of how we came to live here in West Kirby, Liz and I, moving from Birmingham in difficult times. There's a great book called The Power of Praise and Worship by the evangelist Terry Law, which helped me greatly at that time, encouraging me through hard times of spiritual battle to speak out the word of God to me, to call upon the name of Jesus and claim the power of the sacrifice of Jesus with his blood shed for me, in order to meet the adversities that I faced with courage and faith. And now finally, we can say this: the Christ resurrection is the ultimate hope of mankind. His sacrifice for us changes everything and changes us forever. Jesus rose from the dead. Every believer can have a sure hope of resurrection and eternal life because of this. Assured by the power of God to restore all things, here is the ground of our praise to God. Remarkably, Jesus himself says this: "Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." And those are words in John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. Who on earth is this man that he has the authority to sacrifice and take up his own life according to God's sovereign will? He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his resurrection ultimately signifies his deity. And in him we trust. Praise God. Amen.